Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, JonesWalker.com, and from Iberia Bank, offering comprehensive banking services designed to meet the needs of consumer, small business, and commercial clients, serving Louisiana clients for 128 years, and now serving a regional base with a commitment to developing people and investing in its communities, IberiaBank.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricchiuti. Peter Ricchiuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. You either know a lot about 3D printing or you know practically nothing. 3D printing is one of those technological breakthroughs that's been hovering on the sidelines waiting for the right piece of equipment to show up at Best Buy to thrust it into the realm of the next big thing. When is this exactly going to happen? It's hard to say. But it might be hastened along if, say, you could do 3D printing on your phone. And that's what the founder of local 3D printing company, Entrescan, has in mind. Charles Carrier is the inventor of a phone app called Scandy that lets you make 3D prints from your phone. How does it work? And what the heck is a 3D print? I'll promise, we'll find out in just a minute. Charles, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you, Peter.
On the other end of the spectrum from 3D printing, there's graphic design. Once the sole domain of the visually creative software like Adobe Photoshop has given all of us the ability to be graphic artists, but it hasn't given us creative talent. Hand-lettered designs and logos can still only be done by hand. Local startup Lionheart Prints, founded by Liz Cook. Liz, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me.
When you're looking for clothes for your kids and you can't find anything you like, what do you do? If you're Melanie Kostreva, you go home, design, and sew your own. Apparently, Melanie isn't the only fashion-frustrated parent out there. What started as one dress is now the Twirl Shop, and Melanie can't keep up with orders. Melanie, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you.
Now, Charles, 3D printing suffers a little bit from its name. The product comes out of what looks like a computer printer, but it's not actually printing, it's manufacturing. And as I mentioned, we don't seem to have reached the right price point for the right consumer product to put a 3D printer in everyone's home yet. But if we could do it on our phone, that would certainly be a game changer. What does your app Scandy do? And before you tell us exactly how it works, what is a 3D print?
Well, a 3D print is effectively building a solid object layer by layer, one piece at a time. It's exactly like a 2D print, but with a dimension in the Z-axis. In reference to your earlier question, and it ties in very well, I think, with what Elizabeth does, is that design is really important when it comes to 3D printing. If you were to download Google SketchUp and spend, you know, an hour or 5 hours on it, you probably wouldn't have anything that you felt like printing up and showing off right to everyone. So content creation, I think, is going to be the bridge to getting consumer adoption into the 3D printing space. And so that's one of the reasons why we built Scandy, was to help users create content. You can create 2D content right now with your phone. You take a picture and boom, you can share it, you can print it up if you want. 3D content is a little bit harder. So we feel like if we can take a 3D panorama that people are already familiar with and put it into a 3D printed object, then that's something that people can create. It's very accessible, and it's something that is easy enough to do where people can be proud of the end product.
Now, right now you need a kind of a special app to do it, right?
Content creation is not, for 3D, is not easy yet. It's hard. It takes an element of design and expertise, and we're trying to bridge that gap. And once folks can have easy content creation, then I think that can hasten the adoption of, you know, I don't know if you want a printer in every in every home or every room, but you know, it certainly will precipitate wider spread adoption.
Melanie, your story is almost like a made-for-TV movie. You make a dress for your little girl, somebody admires it, so you make one for them, and now everybody is so in love with your twirl shop, little girl dresses, that you're hiring a seamstress to keep up with the demand. Is it a feel-good Disney version of the events, and is it random as it sounds, or do you actually have a business plan in mind all along?
I really didn't. I started, the main thing that I did with my shop is I went to the social media realm. I had no money to start it. My husband gave me a $100 bill to open up a bank account. I had very little, like, we don't have a lot of extra income to have a small business, but it was his hobby, and I really liked sewing. And I started making stuff for my daughters. I have three. And so I had plenty of models, free modeling for me. And what started to happen was I got compliments and people liked what the girls were wearing. And I just went from there. And then I started to follow a lot of different fabric designers. And I became to like really know them and follow their lines. And all I do is talk about fabric. And my husband's like, why don't you like make
Branch
a move
out?
With this? You know,
okay.
Why don't you go? And I did a lot of on Instagram. Instagram is where I did my entire business. What has been so amazing to me is doing it in New Orleans, because there's always something to celebrate. I think I'm from California, from suburbs of Orange County, and I don't think I could have sold 300 Saint skirts to a store or
Charger shirts, really.
Or there's not a whole lot of sports love there, especially football. But yeah, you have Mardi Gras, you have Christmas, you have Jazz Fest, and a girl really does need a different skirt for everything they go to. And there's this app I have on my phone that whenever someone buys something, my phone goes like cha-ching. And it's
that's nice.
Literally the best thing. I almost like that more than like the money that comes into my account. I'm like, I made a sale. My daughters are like, sale, mama, sale? I'm like, yeah.
And
I'm
you brought up a great point though. So the cha-ching happens and you get an order for a large skirt, and do you have it already made?
No, everything's custom made.
Oh, that's
made.
More
yeah.
exciting.
So, oh yeah. So I'm like, what are they going to buy? And you look on and it shows you. So yeah, I have like about 20 different items on my Etsy shop.
Now Liz, various arts have taken a beating from technology. The digital camera has changed the professional photography business. The invention of the MP3 file has basically decimated the music business. And in your field, the internet is filled with clip art, and illustration software is relatively cheap. And even when you come up with an original artistic hand-drawn design, what stops somebody from simply copying and pasting it and basically stealing it from you?
Well, not much, unfortunately. Hopefully, what I'm creating is unique to my brand, and people are recognizing not only the way that the letters are created, but what they're saying.
And so they're kind of funny and inspirational.
Yeah,
right?
They're funny and empowering, and sometimes a little bit of both. I am working on some trademarking, so hopefully I'll have some legal protection over some of my more popular designs that I have unfortunately seen ripped off quite a bit.
Wow, so
yeah,
now that would be on the legal side. And then other people put some sort of brand in the... in the drawing itself, right, to stop people from copying it directly.
But sometimes people will put a watermark on their illustrations on Instagram. I don't really bother with that because I'd like to err on the side of trusting my community and sharing what I love to do. And I mean, I'm in this because I'm spreading messages of joy. And you know what? If you need to screenshot that and share it with somebody else, and fine. That's fine. Yes.
You know what fascinated me is when Charles said earlier that you still need it, or more than ever, you need the creatives in this.
Absolutely. There's you know, part of the what makes 3D printing so effective and desirable is rapid iteration. So you can design something, you can see what it comes out with. So this is a 3D printed injection mold.
Okay.
So this can't take 50,000 or, you know, 5 million shots, but it can do anywhere from 25 to 500 shots in an injection molded application. So companies can actually iterate and very inexpensively test their parts all with the end use materials by using these molds. So the designers go in and they come up with the mold, and then this allows them to tweak their designs very rapidly. But until you get somebody that can design this for you, you're basically at square one.
So Liz, actually, somehow this is going to be good for you. Where would I find your products?
Oh, I'm all over New Orleans. I'm at West Elm, Lucy Rose on Magazine Street, Hattie Sparks in the CBD, Red Arrow Workshop, Box Paper Scissors. I'm at Sopo on Carrollton. Lots of awesome stores.
Nice, you sell to a lot of local shops, but you mentioned West Elm. Is that a different sale?
Well, okay, so West Elm, I'm part of their local collection. I am speaking with the buyers about getting my products in their online store nationally. But Urban Outfitters is one of my biggest customers, and they sell my cards in all of their stores. That's who's taking up most of my dining room table the past month. So,
well, Charles and I met at the Freeman School of Business. Where did you guys meet? Because you.
The Rook Coffee.
Rook Cafe on Ferret. Ferret. Yeah, Rook Coffee Shop,
Rook,
whatever.
Yeah.
Well, like, we...
In the window, I saw her from afar. No. I saw Liz at the Ferret Fest.
Oh, so, well,
yeah, yes. My life is a movie. Let's just see. But I saw Liz at the Ferret Festival in 2014. Not the most recent one, but the last one. And I saw her, and I hadn't started my business, and I told my husband, I'm like, you see this style? I just like this. It's just, I just really like what she's got going on here. But I was too shy to go up to her. But then I started following her on Instagram, which is like kind of...
So you would recommend stalking somebody you were
interested in. Stalk for a little bit, and then you subtly act like you don't know they go to that coffee shop a lot. And you go,
or that they didn't just post a photo from that coffee shop.
So she posted a photo from Rook, and I had my daughter was... 6 months old at the time. I just took her to the doctor, and she was sleeping in the car, and I'm like, I can just run in to Rook.
And I can't believe you're saying this on the radio.
This is safe. She was safe.
My prey may be there.
And she was in the window. And she was in the window, and I was like, Liz, right? And it was like, so.
Why did you? Did you know she was a great business mind? Was that it?
No, I just loved everything I was seeing on her Instagram. And I was like, I think she's local because of the pictures and, like, yeah, you're like a block off for it that way. I'm a block off for it the other way. And so we often saw each other but never connected. And I just was like, you know what? I'm going to go for it.
And we've been best friends ever since.
But she's like the frantic phone call, like, I didn't get my license to sell at the market. Or, like, what do you do for taxes?
Oh, my God, I got my first wholesale account. What do I do?
Like, what percentage do I do? What do I do? And she, like, is... awesome friend, but then she goes like business mode. She goes, this is what you do. And just like has this wealth of knowledge that I would otherwise have had to Google and probably would have.
What I love is that Melanie always and I always work for Ferret Market together. Our booths are next to each other, and she's given me a like a moniker for she's like, oh,
thank you.
Watch out, Liz is in market mode.
Oh, market but mode, Liz.
But
is
we
like a different.
We're always like fist bumping and you know,
like if someone buys like a baby skirt, I'm like, do you need a greeting card that matches?
Do you need a onesie that goes with the skirt? Because
all right, it's getting really girly now. There's
hey, the snuggle is real.
Now
Charles, Liz, and Melanie, let's do a round of one quick question. There are questions that have come in from listeners, and I'm going to ask you one each with a kind of a quick response here. Charles, this came in from Facebook from Mitch Cry. Mitch asks, are there any 3D printers that work in two different media at once?
I guess I would say that 3D printing is still in a of an age where you want the right tool for the right job. So trying to get one printer that does it all is the wrong way to go. If you have an application, get a printer that does that application really, really well and get to use that printer really, really well. So there are some multi-material printers out there, but it's generally, unless you have something, a specific application for that multi-material, whatever it may be, I think you're better off going for something that's sort of fit for that purpose.
How much do these printers cost?
Anywhere from, let's call it $1,000 on the low end to north of $1 million for a metal printer.
Wow, that's a good range.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you can find just about anything in between there.
Now, Melanie, this came in from Walter Cook, who says, you sell clothes on Etsy. That seems like a marketplace for enthusiastic amateurs rather than real designers. Do you feel you need to graduate from Etsy to be taken seriously?
The Etsy thing I use less and less now because I'm doing more wholesale and more of the art markets and festivals and things around. So I think that's what... Etsy was like a great, you know, springboard for the next thing.
It's for your
taught me
market.
A lot, too.
Your audience is on Etsy, so.
Yeah.
I love Etsy. I sometimes think, like, maybe I'll just have my own website, but Etsy does a lot of footwork for you to, like, a search engine so people, like, I had someone search and found me because they were searching for a specific fabric, and I had it. It was this skirt made out of the periodic table of elements, which is necessary, right? You know,
absolutely.
Most 3-year-olds.
What do you wear in science class?
Yeah. If you, you know, if you need a
show
gift
that
for
girl
someone,
does better in science. Later
so
on.
I'm just There's trying to push that forward. So yeah, people will search periodic table clothing toddler or something like that,
right,
and they'll find my skirt. That's I've sold so many of those purely by search.
Now, Liz, Carla Park wants to know, have you thought about targeting local corporate clients like law firms who like to give away books and so on? You see them as kind of tchotchkes sometimes, a company book or to clients and things like that?
I'm always open to collaborations, and if there was a law firm that wanted to do something special together, I'm sure that we could work something out. Right now, that's just not been something that's been on my plate now that we're out to lunch.
Yeah, right.
But to kind of piggyback on her question, if that's okay, I feel like Etsy has been really good to me. And I mean, it's how Urban Outfitters was found me in the first place. But I absolutely do need to graduate to my own online store in order to be take myself more seriously.
Liz has been doing this a lot longer than I have. So I kind of, not like ride her coattails, but I watch and see like different moves she makes. Like that's how I got my wholesale order. Cause she was like, I got all these business cards. I'm going to contact all these businesses and, you know, tell them what I got. And I'm like, I'm going to do that. And so in May, I was like, May, everyone's thinking about Saints, right? I mean, we've been thinking about it. So I emailed like seven different shops, pretty much like a stock email, like, hi, this is me. And the biggest one that I emailed was like, yes, I'll take this. And I'm like, whoa, what? And then I immediately called Liz. I'm like, okay, someone replied. What do I do now?
Not just someone, but like someone. Yeah,
you would like the dog that caught the pickup truck.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So,
hey, now because I have Charles here and just to use your expertise, let me just bring both of your lives together. The stocks of 3D printing companies were Wall Street darlings, and they've had a very tough time. What is that?
I think the industry was a victim of its own hype, quite frankly. There was a lot of hype in the media, and I think all these companies were getting phone calls from, you know, C-suites to big retailers saying, we need this, this is the next big product. And the reality is that there are elements of 3D printing that are really hard. The good news is that now that that's behind us, I've seen from any number of companies the realization that, you know, we've got to create real value for the consumer, for the user. We have to make sure that these machines are reliable, that they, you know, that there's more content to put on them. And so I think that going forward, the things that they can, that the printers are able to do is extraordinary, but you have to be willing to put the time into it to find out. And I think that they felt like, oh, drop a printer in a home and people are going to be printing like crazy and they're going to love it. And that's just not the case. I mean, if I came into a business and I dropped an industrial, you know, I dropped a $100,000 printer in there, and they didn't know how to use it, they didn't know how to incorporate it into their workflow, it would be a paperweight. Part of our challenge is coming in and saying, look, understanding their business process and providing them a solution, not a printer. So we don't sell printers, we really sell solutions. We say, what is it that you want to do in this business? Do you want to go after new business? Do you want to try and iterate faster? Are you trying to bring down costs? What is it you're trying to do? And here's the printer for that application.
So is it possible that investors are sometimes irrational?
just maybe.
Maybe. That's what I wanted to get.
Remember when I said focus on the long term? That's what you've got to do with these. I do think that, you know, I'm a big believer in the industry, obviously, because I've invested a lot, not in the stocks, but in, you know, in the industry. But I do think that it's it is going to change manufacturing, just not tomorrow.
And I can't wait till Liz starts making 3D printers out of 3D printers. That's
exactly.
Let's do some 3D printed word art for your home.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we can do that.
That's the best thing that comes from this show.
The 3D Systems Cube was featured on Project Runway a couple of weeks ago, where they're actually, you can take fabric, put it on the cube, which is this $1,000 printer, and actually 3D print a design on it, and then sew that fabric into whatever else you're doing.
Ooh.
So,
that's interesting.
There we go.
There's an angle in fashion
so
as well.
So there'll be a reason to bring you all back. Charles Carrier, 3D printing may well be the next wave of the industrial revolution, and your app, Scandi, looks set to be a possible worldwide game changer. But even tech wizardry can't replace an artist's eye, and your businesses are proving that, Melanie and Liz. Today's conversation has been another example of the amazing range of entrepreneurship here in New Orleans. Thank you for taking the time to join me on Out to Lunch.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, folks. My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Charles Carrier. He's the founder and president of Entrescan, Liz Cook, founder and creative director of Lionheart Prints, and Melanie Kostreva. She's the owner of The Twirl Shop. You can find out more about Charles's 3D phone app, Scandi, Liz's designs, and Melanie's twirls by following the links on our websites, wwno.org and itsneworleans.com. Our show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, the Jazz Brunch on Saturday and Sunday, and of course that has live music and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle, and you can't replicate Jennifer Brady, our researcher. Mitch Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. Mitch's new record, Puzzle, is out now. You can find out more about that at mitchellforeman.com. You can get the show as a podcast. You can listen to past shows. You can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our website, itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we look like, you can find photos from the show on our website and Facebook page. These photos were taken today by Dion Grayson. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricchitti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the table here at Commander's Palace for more business, New Orleans style, on Out to Lunch.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com, and from Iberia Bank, offering comprehensive banking services designed to meet the needs of consumer, small business, and commercial clients, serving Louisiana clients for 128 years, and now serving a regional base with a commitment to developing people and investing in its communities, iberiabank.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers Comp and 30 North Investments.